Have you ever heard of Christian Larson? Maybe not, but you have heard of a work he did. Because I know you've heard it because we share it here on the program on Top of the World pretty regularly. Christian D. Larson, in fact, wrote what you and I call the Optimus Creed, and he wrote it in 1912. He found reason to be optimistic in 1912, and here's what he wrote. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family, by the way, I added that. Its original portion is just to make all your friends feel, and I say friends and family, feel like there's something worthwhile in them, because there is. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and to make your own optimism come true in your life. Promise to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect in your life only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about mistakes you've made in the past because you are pressing on to your greater achievements in your near future. Promise yourself to wear cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you don't have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life because you are, and yes, my friend, I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard.
Stuck on you. Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. I needed a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. I might be glad to stay. Oh. I'm stuck on you. I've been a fool too long. I guess it's time for me to come on home. Guess I'm on my way. So hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on my way. I might be glad to stay. Ooh,
ooh. It's showtime.
Hey, man. Aha, man, live from Homer, I was going to say New York, live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, radio on purpose.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly we hailed twilight's gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
That I play. Whoa.
Chris Stapleton. Man, what an amazing performance that was. Absolutely amazing. You're listening to what my mom calls the greatest show on earth, on top of the world, Radio on Purpose. Mr. David Webb is your engineer and producer all the way back up at the mothership of KPEN and KGTL AM and FM, courtesy of Horizon Wireless. Horizon Wireless makes this possible. If you're tired of laggy service, laggy backroom service, like you call and you can't get through, I promise you, because I've lived through this for years now with Horizon Wireless, top shelf service, front end, back end, all the way through. Good people, call 226-3130, 226-3130, Horizon Wireless. Coming soon to the top of the world, New York Times bestselling author John David Mann. He's got a new thriller coming out with Brandon Webb, the Navy SEAL that he's been writing books with for years. Their new thriller is called Blind Fear. John will be here to talk about that. Later in the month, actually early next month, on The Backyard Millionaire, we've got also New York Times bestselling author. He's also a real estate guru, Robert G. Allen. He'll be back here to share with us secrets of growing wealth in your own backyard right now, today. He's been doing this for over 40 years and says it's still possible, and will give the tools and tactics to do it today. And also coming up on The Backyard Millionaire later in the probably the early portion of June, you're going to be hearing from a serial entrepreneur, son of Alaska, Mark Halpin. He'll be talking about finding success where you are. Don't complain, Confucius said, about the snow on your neighbor's roof when your doorstep is unclean. Excellent advice from Confucius from over 1,000 years ago, and very applicable to social media today, if you were to take a look at it. So many things have changed in our world. One thing that's not changed is communication, how you communicate, where you communicate, and to whom matters. Paul Harvey was one of the greatest communicators on the planet, and I'm so grateful to have been influenced by him as a child, listening to his radio program, some of the evening specials he did on ABC. I'll never forget him. His voice lives in my mind, but I think it's more important that his voice still live in this world that you and I share, right here on the radio.
Policeman. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. What that really means is that they are exceptional, they are unusual, they are not commonplace. Buried under the froth is the fact, and the fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen misfit that uniform, and that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted, a strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. But if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. The policeman from a single human hair must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. He runs files and writes reports until his eyes ache to build a case against some felon who'll get dealed out by a shameless Seamus. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
Paul Harvey here on Top of the World. It's time for our Mindbender, presented today by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town Homer. You deserve a night out on the town. Make it AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, 907-235-9949. Make a reservation. If you leave a voicemail, by the way, and they text you back with the confirmation, it's so cool. I don't know. I just love that technology. And then a reminder text later. It's pretty cool. Or you can go online to ajsteakhouse.com, ajsteakhouse.com, and make a reservation right there. You deserve a night of succulent steak, the best prime, USDA prime available. Cooked to your perfect temperature, plus seafood so fresh, the fishermen, yes, the fishermen are still at the bar lying to each other at AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. All right, here's a question. Salmon, halibut, or cod, what's the secret to the best cook? What's your secret to the best cook? I mean, everybody's got a little different take on all of these things. What's your secret to making cod or halibut or salmon come to life? Share. You've got it. You don't even understand. In Alaska, you do not understand how much knowledge, deep knowledge you have. I'm afraid we take it a little bit for granted. The recipes and the way we cook things is so succulent, better than most restaurants in the lower 48 cooking these kinds of seafoods. What's your secret? Share right now at 907-299-7653. 907-299-7653. Text in your name and answer. The secret to your best cook of salmon, halibut, or cod, or all three, or some fish I haven't even named. 299-7653. When we return, we've got a story about a snake bite, why you should aim at optimism, and your word. That's right. What a word. When we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. You are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with the Eagle, Mr. David Webb, back up at the mothership, KPEN and KGTL. If you'd like to find me online or any one of our previous broadcasts, ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com. You can also start your property search anywhere in Alaska right there at ilovehomeralaska.com. I love words. I always have. I've kind of been a collector of words, and it was always at a disadvantage growing up because I wasn't as big a reader as I would later become. And I would hear a word, and it would stick in my mind, and that word would stay with me. And there are times that I use the word incorrectly and or the wrong word, but it sounds similar, but it really is lodged in my mind from how I heard it versus having read it. And so it's, or even go fast forward. And now that I'm a voracious reader, I read every single day, a minimum of an hour, sometimes two, have to pull myself back from it. And what I might find is that, in fact, I'm mispronouncing a word because I've only read it and never heard it. So long story short, I simply love words and I love using new words. Hence, TBC Radio's What a Word, presented by tbcradio.com. You can call Josiah at 803-9424, 803-9424. Get the word out about your business right here on the radio. Wherever you are, you can buy just the flank steak. Maybe you don't want the whole cow. With Josiah, you can market right in your own backyard, tbcradio.com. Today's word is special. It's actually a hyphenated word. And it's a Scottish word from the 19th century. And I'm going to tell you the definition before I tell you the word. I never do that, but I'm doing it here. Copious but meaningless talk, writing, nonsense. All right, so the definition of this word today is copious but meaningless talk or writing, simply nonsense. The word is argle-bargle. Come on, you love it. You're smiling right now. Argle bargle is the Scottish word that means copious but meaningless talk, writing, simply nonsense. Argle bargle. Do we have something that would be in a roundabout way define argle bargle?
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech, and apparently he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him. And then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry. He reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
I'm a man without conviction. I'm a man.
Argle Bargle. Argle Bargle. A-R-G-L-E hyphen B-A-R-G-L-E. Argle Bargle.
You come and go.
Here on Top of the World, we've got our mind bender rolling through right now. Remember, the number to text message your name and answer is 907-299-7653. The question on deck today, presented by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, is salmon, halibut, cod, whatever your poison, whatever your flavor, what's your secret to cooking it really, really well? As an Alaskan, you've got an advantage over the rest of the world in that you have this at your fingertips, and you've probably cooked it more individually. You've cooked salmon, halibut, and cod more than any other American. I would put that to you and just suggest that I am right about that. So what's your secret? What's the secret cook? 299-7653. Text in right now. 299-7653. There's a lot of talk everywhere I'm looking, and it's probably because I'm interested in it myself. But I'm finding all the podcasts, all the interviews that I'm listening to, be it authors or business leaders, philosophers, are all talking about the impact of artificial intelligence. And I know some people right now are rolling their eyes like, I'm so sick of hearing about it. I don't want to be. I think Seth Godin said it absolutely best. If you're afraid of AI and what it's going to be doing, he said, remember, when electricity first hit the scene, people we're afraid of it too. So my suggestion is that we learn to live a little bit with it, be proactive in how we're A, using it, but B, talking to our elected officials about regulating it, and B, an active voice in it. And so to do that, you have to somewhat use it a little bit. And if you don't, you probably only have an ethereal concept of what it can do, could do, might do, ought not do. So I asked myself, can AI really be funny? Could I, if I was a comedian, could I help or get help from artificial intelligence? Could I? Is it possible? Can AI, can artificial intelligence actually be funny on its own? So here's what I prompted ChatGPT to do. I prompted it to write a joke that's never been written before. So in other words, it isn't a plagiarized version of some other joke that it found in its massive database. It is actually a joke that is brand new. Here's what I said. I said, write a funny joke about optimists that has never been written before. Chat's response was, why did the optimist start a lemonade stand during a snowstorm? Answer, because they believed in making ice cold profits even when life gave them frozen lemons. So, can AI replace comedians? Absolutely not.
When you laugh, your brain releases endorphins, yeah? Your stress hormones are reduced, and the oxygen supply to your blood is increased. So you feel, I try and laugh several times a day just because it makes you feel good. So let's try that. Ooh, hey? just, come on, trust me, you'll feel.
Artificial intelligence can never replace the intelligence of Ricky Gervais. Come on. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Our question is still on deck today for the perfect tip to cooking salmon, halibut, cod, whatever. So far, and this is just those of you that have replied so far to this, and entered to win a free dinner at AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, a free gift certificate. by the way, and a copper coin from on top of the world, the coin of the realm here on top of the world for all optimists to unite with, and a special Danco limited edition Backyard Millionaire t-shirt. I've just upped the ante. Upped the ante. And so far, here's what I'm getting. Don't overcook it. Don't overcook the salmon. Okay, now that we have that out of the way, let's just be a little vulnerable to each other. I'm willing to share a recipe, a family trade secret. This, let me just put it this way. This, if I share this recipe for halibut, if I share this family proprietary recipe for halibut that will change your life, my family may disown me. I'm willing to share that here in just a little bit. And all I'm getting is don't overcook it.
There are a lot of people who are born in situations where they say, well, I'll never get out of this. So they won't. I say to people who say, well, I would like to have done so and so and so. So you could have done it. So, well, I couldn't get out of here. Man, the bus runs every day.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains.
Okay, another several entries for Don't Overcook the Fish. Maybe that is truthfully at the heart of it all. Maybe that really is the greatest secret of cooking fish. Cooking salmon, cod, halibut. One time, Tiffany and I went into a restaurant right where Sizzler. Have you ever been to Soldatna in the 80s? You know where the Sizzler is. And the funny thing is, I think it hasn't been a Sizzler for like 35 years or something. Tiffany and I still say, well, I think you take a left at the Sizzler. But one time there was a restaurant in there called the... I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Didn't last. But we went in and we sat down. And Tiffany ordered the halibut, and she said to the waitress, but would you just please ask the chef not to overcook the halibut? And the waitress said, okay. The waitress came back about 5 minutes later and said, oh, by the way, the chef said he doesn't need to be told not to overcook the halibut. What?
And I know you feel like dying.
Why did you tell him? You should have just placated her and said, okay, ma'am, and then, oh, wow. I did not. No, Tiffany, I will not taste your halibut. No, I don't know what he did. Tiffany just chimed in that he overcooked it. I don't know if it was out of spite or ignorance, but he overcooked it. All right, share your recipe if you will. I'll share mine if you do. It's a family recipe that could get me disowned. I'm taking a big risk here. I've got a story about a bad grandpa, and I'm going to share the only eight ways you can cook salmon when we return to the top of the world. Snake bites and such. Two men were bitten by snakes on the same day. One man sat down, tied a piece of cloth around his leg just above where the bite was, while his friend ran for help. He sat there calmly as he could, keeping an eye on his leg and tightening the makeshift tourniquet as he needed. The number one priority, to stay calm. He didn't let his heart beat too fast. He breathed through the pain and focused on his breath in and out. In and out. On the same day, not very far away, another man was bitten by a snake. Maybe the same snake, we'll never know. This man, though, was furious. He screamed bloody murder. He pulled out a large knife, determined to have his revenge. He chased after the snake into the brush where he'd seen it slither off. He ran and he ran, and his heart beat faster and faster, driving the poison ever deeper. He finally caught up with a snake, who was now coiled on a large rock in the middle of a clearing. The man came to a sudden stop. He felt the pain in his chest. He dropped the knife, clutched his hands to his throat. He grasped for air, and then fell silently to the forest floor, dead. Meanwhile, the other man, who had remained calm, did what he was able to do for himself and accepted the help of his fellow hiker, was being rushed to a hospital by ambulance, where he received the life-saving antivenom. 1 week later, that man walked out of the hospital unassisted. I think the moral of this story is pretty obvious, right? It wasn't the snake bite that killed the other guy. It was his reaction to the snake bite that killed him. And the survivor, well, it was his reaction that saved his life. But here's the rest of the story. 2 days after the survivor left the hospital, he went for a slow walk in his neighborhood. His wife had promised him a delicious breakfast of blueberry pancakes and crispy bacon upon his return. As he came to a corner just one block from his home, a garbage truck rounded that corner at a high rate of speed. The driver looked up from his phone just in time to watch his truck run over the walking man on the sidewalk, who died on the scene. There are some things in your control, and some things that are never in your control. Survive you may, only to die another day. Live like this is your last. No matter what the news of the day, remember what Og Mandino said, treat every person you meet as though they'll be gone at midnight. You were born to live. Now get busy living.
My heart's beating inside my chest. My lungs breathing the oxygen. But I need something more than this to keep me alive. I'm so sick of wasting time, living life like I'm half alive. I'm done believing these evil lies that tell me hopes and dreams have died. I can feel it in the air tonight, way up above these city lights. There's a higher calling on all our lives. Let's live to love, not just survive. Wake up, what are we waiting for?
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Storr here along with Mr. David Webb. That story is so full of information and twists and turns. It's the only optimistic story I think ever been told on Earth that ends with somebody being run over by a garbage truck. Oh, what an idiot. Our mind bender is heating up. All it took was just a wee bit of shaming for me, a little ogle-buggle, and suddenly, oh, recipes are flying in. I had asked my mom to share the recipe, we call it pa'oa fish, story to come in a moment. She's refusing to share it, so I've asked Tiffany if she would call in and share it, as she has, it's been handed down to her. I know a little bit about the recipe, just enough to be dangerous and possibly ruin your halibut. So Tiffany said she can't call in right now and share it, but here's what she is going to do. She's going to lay it out in detail and put it on the Story Real Estate Facebook and Insta page, for those of you that are hip enough to know what Insta is, and also going to link to that in our webpage, on our webpage, ilovehomeralaska.com. So be sure to look for that. And here's the story behind it. And I'll get to some of your recipes in a minute because they're fantastic. But my Aunt Joan traveled the world. I loved this woman. And every time she'd come to visit us, she had something from the Philippines. And she just was one of these people that was way ahead of her time, organizing trips and bringing people to parts of the world they'd never otherwise see. And she knew this gentleman from Hawaii. He was the sheriff of Honolulu. And she brought him over to Alaska and brought him down to our family picnic at one point, and he prepared this inspired halibut dish. And so in honor of him, this is dating back into the, I have to say, late 70s, maybe mid to late 70s. And ever since then, we have collectively as a family cooked this and called it pa'oa fish, which was named after him that my Aunt Joan introduced us to. So that's the recipe I was willing to share. I had to leverage a relationship or two to get this. Tiffany is willing to share. It's a little bit like a magician that gets sort of 86th from the Magician's Club for sharing it, but we're going to do it. If you want to share a recipe or something that makes cod, halibut, or salmon just that much better, 299-7653. My cousin, Tammy, is sharing something. In fact, my Aunt Joan's daughter. She says, salmon debone first, lay on foil, spray. I cannot believe it is not butter on the fillet. I can't believe it's not butter. I love this. Lay sliced lemons on the fish, sprinkle with tarragon, and bake at 350 degrees. Thank you, Tammy. That's mouthwatering. I wonder if I can't believe it's not butter is actually relevant. Maybe. I don't think she'd mislead us. Jennifer started her little text message thread to me by just saying, don't overcook. I shamed her into sharing an actual recipe, which is a salmon steak, 1.5 pounds, covered in 3 minced garlic cloves, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 teaspoon of Cajun seasoning, tablespoon of lemon or lime juice. Lime juice. I like that. Teaspoon of salt, teaspoon of fresh ground pepper. Mix all the ingredients. Add the steaks. Let marinate for an hour or more. Grill for 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Just don't overcook them. That is so true. Grill your salmon on a soaked cedar plank. Marinate your cod in a marinade that contains white wine for a few hours before cooking. Oh, that's interesting. I've never marinated anything in white wine. Cuts the oily, fishy taste, she adds. And add seasoning to pull your halibut to your halibut that will taste like something. That's a good point. Wow, that's a real sharp cut at halibut, but it's true. It's flavorless. CP says, I love to make fish soup, chicken stock, white onions, garlic, ginger, all fresh, Frenched carrots. I don't know what that means, Frenched carrots. Is that are they grown in France? Maybe it's the way you cut them. When it's happy, add linguine, cut rice noodles. When you're almost done, slide a couple of boneless fillets of either three to the bottom. Then immediately add Napa cabbage on top, cover and turn off the heat. Serve with fish, white fish soy sauce. Salmon you serve with sweet chili sauce. So that's a fish soup. That sounds marvelous. My dad had a recipe for a salmon chowder, which you don't think of as a chowder, salmon chowder, but it was a salmon chowder. And Tiffany and I, in our pottery making days, actually made little salmon recipe card holders. It was like a flat salmon, its tail was bent back like towards the head at an angle, and a little slit was just carved into the body of the fish such that it would hold the card up, the recipe card, while you were making or baking something in the kitchen. You could have your little recipe there. And we sold thousands of those, and we printed the recipe for my dad's salmon chowder. We sold those to people at the markets, and they would take them back to places all over the world. I just love this idea that Norm's recipe is being made somewhere in Finland right now, probably. Dave says, what a weird word. Oh, the argle bargle. It is. It's a fun word. Dave, I bet you've already used it twice. He goes on to say, I like to bake cod in the oven after squeezing fresh lemon juice on it, sprinkling dill weed, adding lemon pepper, and then a coat of mayonnaise or olive oil, covering in panko crumbs and baking, and then broiling it the last couple of minutes to brown it up on top. Great show. Thank you, Dave, and thank you for the recipe. Let's see here. Mary says, 1 cup of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon of Dijon, 1 teaspoon of dill. Cover a 9 by 11 pan with fillets. Add this on top, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on thickness. And she is also one that's prescribing, don't overcook the fish. And I think that truly is the secret to fish. That's a secret, and it just ruins it. If you ever watch those shows like with Gordon Ramsay and people like that, they actually cook salmon a lot more rare than we do. And it's actually changed the way Tiffany and I cook it just a little bit. Still not as rare as you see on the TV shows. And they'll come out and saying, oh, let's get this right. Fish is cooked perfectly. Let's get it right now. Eh? That's perfect. And I'm like, excuse me, that looks raw to me still. No, I don't think so. But we definitely fall on that more medium rare side, even with our salmon, not halibut. But then, see, halibut is that like, wow, you're overcooked, not quite cooked enough, and you get worms or disease, or I don't know. There's just so much to know. How can one person know?
You are a meathead. I'm meathead, dead from the neck up.
So there's only 8 ways really to cook salmon. And you can dispute this if you want to, but I'm telling you right now, definitively, if you can come up with another reason or another way to cook salmon, I'll put you to the top of the line of our mind bender today. But these are the 8 ways you can cook salmon, period, full stop, ain't no more. It's 50 ways to leave your lover, 8 ways to cook salmon. Grilled salmon, baked salmon, pan-seared salmon, poached salmon, steamed salmon, broiled salmon, smoked salmon, and cured salmon, or gravlax. Gravlax. That's it. Grilled, baked, pan-seared, poached, steamed, broiled, smoked, cured. That's it. You got something else? Text it in. 299-7653. So back to AI real quick. Can artificial intelligence, could you create right now a comedic career using nothing but AI? Could you? Well, here's what I asked it this morning. I prompted ChatGPT to write a joke about Alaskans that's never been written before. It's a brand new joke at your expense. Never been written before. This is artificial intelligence trying to burn you. Here we go. Why did the Alaskan bring a ladder to the grocery store? So stupid. Because they heard the prices were so high, they needed a climb discount. It's funny because it's stupid. I think anybody who's writing mediocre essays, anybody who's writing mediocre listicles, you got something to worry about. Artificial intelligence will replace you very, very soon. Comedians, your jobs are safe for good. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I've got a story about a bad, bad, bad grandpa and a few reasons why you, for many reasons, should aim at optimism. Optimism isn't a destination, it's an aim and it's a journey. And we'll talk about it here on Top of the World. You are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story. And if you'd like to explore any of my books, here's the thing. If you've already read The Backyard Millionaire, How to Create Wealth Where You Are with What You've Got, or Born to Live, Finding Purpose on the Road to Hope, or The Making of Man When List and Sell Turns into Life and Death, if you've read any or all of them, I would be so honored if you would go to Amazon, as loathsome of a place as it is, and leave a 5-star review and an honest rating. It would truly make my day. And here's what happens. For whatever reason that only coders and nerds understand, there's an algorithm that will expose my books, the messages that you and I love to share here on Top of the World, with more people. I have a goal to help 2,000 people become backyard millionaires in the next 2 years. And that means I have to get this message out to more and more people. Hence, I'm going to where they are, and they happen to be, like all of us, on Amazon. So if you would do that on Amazon, a rating review of my books that you've read and enjoyed, and truthfully, only if you've read and enjoyed them, I would appreciate that forevermore. Talk about a bad grandpa. Whew. California man returned a library book that was found to be 96 years overdue. Said he believes that the tome was originally checked out by his deceased wife's grandfather. Okay, it was a book on history of America, and he kept it for 96 years from the library.
You took this book out in 1971.
Yes, and I returned it in 1971.
Yeah, 71. That was my first year on the job. Bad year for libraries. Bad year for America. Hippies burning library cards. Abby Hoffman telling everybody to steal books. I don't judge a man by the length of his hair or the kind of music he listens to. Rock was never my bag. But you put on a pair of shoes when you walk into the New York Public Library, fella.
Look, Mr. Bookman. I returned that book. I remember it very specifically.
You're a comedian. You make people laugh.
I try.
You think this is all a big joke, don't you?
No, I don't.
I saw you on TV once. I remembered your name from my list. I looked it up. Sure enough, it checked out. You think because you're a celebrity that somehow the law doesn't apply to you, that you're above the law?
Certainly not.
Well, let me tell you something funny, boy. You know that little stamp? The one that says New York Public Library? Well, that may not mean anything to you, but that means a lot to me. One whole hell of a lot.
Sure, go ahead.
Laugh if you want to. I've seen your type before. Flashy, making the scene, flaunting convention.
I wish you love and happiness. I guess I wish you all the best. I wish you don't do like I do and ever fall in love with someone like you. 'Cause if you fell just like I did, you'd probably walk around the block like a little kid. But kids don't know. They can only guess how hard it is to wish you happiness.
Do you know what your homeowner's insurance covers? Most people don't. Just like this couple in Britain, they actually had 18 water buffalo escaped from a nearby pen and invaded their backyard swimming pool, causing over $30,000 in damage. And their insurance company said, sorry, that's not covered. Well, it took them about 2 months, and finally the insurance company got tired of fighting and said, okay, we'll cover the damage. But the truth of it is, most homeowners do not know what's covered, what isn't. So make sure your insurance company isn't stands with a fist when you need them. Know your policy before you need it. I like to wake up optimistically each day. Optimistically, I like to wake up each day, and each day I like to wake up optimistic. But it's an aim. There are some days that you just, no matter how tried and true of an optimist you aim at being, fall short. And that's okay, because it is a journey, not a destination. It's not a place on the map. You can't go to Optimisticville. You just have to aim there and live where you end up with what you've got. It's a tool. Optimism is a tool. If you're ever on the path towards solutions, be it for yourself or others or your community, your country, you understand that optimism can make you better at whatever it is you do. It's a layer on top of who you are. It isn't who you are. It's a layer of who you are. Because if you don't look at it that way, and you just see other people that you think are, wow, boy, never met a stranger, super optimistic, never had a bad day, and you think that's what optimism is, you'll always fall short of it, and then you'll always feel less than, or you'll feel diminished, or you'll diminish what it is that optimism could do for you. It enhances your resilience, your ability to adapt. Having optimistic mentality can mean better health and better wealth, because you're on the lookout for solutions rather than just the dire straits of life. You're actually looking for solutions, and you believe that you deserve more happiness, more relationship, more assets, more income, more freedom, more time. You deserve those things. And when you feel that you are aiming towards an optimistic point of view, you can't help but win.
Somewhere there's a mother crying in her hands, praying for the son who's fighting in the sand. Somewhere there's a boy who's in a danger zone, fighting to ensure his mother's safe at home. And oh, say, can you see?
What is the American dream? What is the American dream to you? Many say, oh, the American dream is owning a home. In fact, my Association of Realtors, my National Association of Realtors, will say that it's the home ownership, the American dream. It's an American dream. It's a version of the American dream. Maybe yours. Or you may be like James Altucher, a guy worth probably $50 to $75 million who chooses to rent. That's okay. That's his version of an American dream, is ultimate freedom. And I support him in that. Here's my version of the American dream. And I think it surmises everything I believe about real estate investment, and about America and freedom and what we enjoy here. The American dream, in my eyes, is the right to home ownership. You do not have the right to a home per se. You have the right to own a home. In other words, private property that shall not be taken from you, shall not be invaded. You shall not be forced to harbor soldiers. I mean, there's so much baked into that one idea, that the right to own a home and have private property, and the private property rights that you enjoy in America, to me, that is the underpinning of our freedom, along with all the other constitutional rights and things that are protected, the provisions within the documents that we call our founding documents, by our incredibly wise founders. But to me, that American dream is that the right to own a home, the right to speak your mind, the right to freedom, freedom of assembly, freedom of choice, all of those things are aiming at the right to do something. And if you do not exercise them, if you do not choose to take advantage of them, I think you're missing out a little bit. But your American dream can look like anything you want it to be. Mine is the right to own a home, and the right to become who you want to be. I want to thank Sarah and Beverly. Sarah and Beverly are both getting our gift packs today from On Top of the World, to include a $25 gift certificate to AJ's Old Town Steakhouse, a copper coin from Here on Top of the World, as well as our custom Dan Coe Backyard Millionaire t-shirt. I want to thank Mr. David Webb for engineering this broadcast, as he has for all these 16 years we've been on air together. Part of these conversations, without him doing his job, I'd just be sitting down here twiddling my thumbs and talking to nobody. And the flip side, I guess, or the commensurate thanks would go to you. Because if it wasn't for you listening here live on radio, KPN and KGTL, or listening on our podcast found at ilovehomeralaska.com, then again, I'd just be sitting here talking to Dave. And no offense, but we want to talk to you. That's what we're here for. If there's a guest or somebody you'd like us to interview and be in touch with, send ideas. At my text message is available to you anytime, 907-299-7653. And let me know. I've gotten to know a lot of great people. In fact, it was through a relationship that I got to know Robert G. Allen, one of our guests coming up on The Backyard Millionaire, through another relationship and a suggestion. So I'm always on the lookout. So thank you for sharing your recipes today. And maybe share this show with a friend who you think has overcooked salmon or halibut or cod in the past, and you'd just like to very, very subtly share with them that, no, don't do that again. You've overcooked the salmon one too many times. Maybe this sharing this show is a very subtle way to maintain a relationship and keep the friendship, but also not suffer with an awful meal. I mean, they're really, truly, a dry halibut is probably... Well, I was talking to Mark Halpin today, and he's going to be a guest, like I said, coming up on the Backyard Millionaire. And you know he spent 2 weeks in a Russian jail. I think, and I don't want to put words in Mark's mouth, but I think he'd rather eat that Russian food from prison than overcooked dry halibut in the finest restaurant in America. Is that... Yeah, maybe that's an overstatement. Anyway, I'm Chris Story for David Webb and myself, reminding you to look forward in life, learn from your past, but never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. We'll see you next time.